Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 1 in our teaching on the life of Daniel, titled Daniel's Training in Babylon. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
We're going to embark on a new teaching series this morning. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day that you've made. We thank you for the power and the presence of your Spirit. We ask and pray, Lord, that you teach us how to enter into where you are right now. And Lord, we do ask and pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us with revelation. Help us real quickly, Lord, in our minds. Just take a something and clean our minds out real quickly. Get us our thinking in order that we might embrace your teaching and we might come into agreement with your word. And that it might go down into our soul, into our spirits, and it might be planted, and it might bring forth a great harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 As we begin this teaching on the book of Daniel, I'll be teaching it on Sunday mornings, and then we'll have a more in-depth teaching on Wednesday nights. We're going to be doing dreams and visions and the like in the house of prayer on Wednesday nights. And so I was trying to figure how to take that apart, and you can't do it, because the book of Daniel is the book that teaches you about dreams and visions and interpretations. So the title of this of teaching, I want to begin our concept with the life of Daniel. Now, we're doing the book of Daniel. But in doing the book of Daniel, we're going to do the life of Daniel. And there's something I want us to look at as we start considering this book. It is very important that the book of Daniel is relevant for today. If we're not careful, we'll look upon the book of Daniel and say, well, it's an Old Testament book and it was written. And so we're going to look back on the book of Daniel as a old writing. That is not the way we approach the book of Daniel. The way we approach the book of Daniel is that it is alive and it is well and it is for us today. And once we gather that and feel, did you feel the witness of the Spirit right there? It's on the Word. And so when we get the witness of the Spirit and we start entering into this book, it is just mere words on a piece of paper. But it is a supernatural words on a piece of paper. And once we start recognizing the truth, here's what the truth does. It'll be quickened to your spirit. You'll feel it. You'll feel His Spirit because it's quickened unto you. Now, right quickly, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to take your right hand with your index finger. Everybody with me? This is not for observation. I need you to do this, please. Take your right hand, index finger, with your eyes closed, and put it on top of your left hand. What did your right hand just do to your left hand? It did what?
Connected.
It connected it. Anybody else? Well, y'all trying to go too deep on me. It touched it. Got right. Okay. Your right hand did what? But you now remember, your eyes were closed. Your right hand on top of your left hand, it touched your left hand. Now, with your eyes closed, how do you know your right hand touched your left hand? Because you feel it. Now you can open your eyes since they're already open. Point being, that's the ways of the Spirit. Your eyes are closed. Close your eyes, Pastor. What am I doing?
You're touching my left hand.
I'm touching your left hand. How do you know?
I feel it.
Because you feel it. Things of the Spirit. When God touches you, you can't see Him, but you'll feel it. Why do we worship God? Well, I can't see Him, but I can tell He's touching me. How do you know He's touching you? Because I can feel it. Do you have to see something to feel it? As we approach the book of Daniel, it's spirit. we enter the spirit realm and we'll say, can the book of Daniel touch me? If it can touch me, I can feel it. It's the ways of the spirit. Why is this church about experiential Christianity? It's because we know that God is alive and He wants to touch His people. And the reason God wants to touch, listen, can God touch you? Can Jehovah God touch you and you not feel it? No. If you're not feeling nothing, you're not getting a touch. People, I've heard the arguments that Christianity is intellectual. You can't feel, it's not experiential. I'm like, well, if it's not experiential, let me go home. Because when God touches you, you'll feel it. When you got born again, you know what happened? God touched you. Did you feel it? You felt it. It'll make your eyes leak. It'll make you shake. It'll make you do all kinds of stuff. As we enter the book of Daniel, God wants to touch you. He wants you to feel it. Now, with that in mind, Babylon. What is Babylon? The book of Daniel applies to us today. It applies to us today. We are a people in Babylon. Now the question is, the world that's around us now is a type of a Babylon, and I'm going to go through that real quickly. I'm going to cover a lot of content here real quickly. And the question is, how can I become a Daniel? We're studying the book of Daniel, but what the Spirit of the Lord's after is you becoming a Daniel. On Wednesday nights, I've been asked to teach on dreams and interpretation of dreams and visions. And there's not a formula. It's not like taking algebra. You don't say, well, you do this, a tree means this, and this means it. To have interpretation, a prophetic interpretation, is not a systematic interpretation. Daniel interpreted dreams not because of what he knew, but because of who he knew. You can't interpret dreams by what you know. You interpret dreams because you're a Daniel. Wednesday nights, or we'll be covering more in depth, when we become a Daniel, how can we interpret dreams? If you can't know what a touch is, you can't interpret dreams. When you look at a dream, you'll say, well, you know, it kind of feels like this. Let's watch it. The question is, how can I become a Daniel? Now, I'm going to do a little overview in the next 10 minutes, right quickly. The first six chapters are mostly narrative with some prophecies mixed in. They narrate the life of Daniel from his exile in Babylon up to his old age. They speak about integrity in this present world. Now, you'll have a copy of all of these notes next week. We're thinking Daniel probably went into captivity around the ages 15, 16, 17, somewhere in there. The last six chapters are largely prophetic with only a small amount of narrative regarding how each vision came to him. These chapters tend to talk more about the end times. So by that, how many chapters does the book of Daniel have? It's got 12. It's got six chapters that are mostly narrative about Daniel. Then the next six chapters are more talking about prophecy and end times. It's all full of symbols. Now the first six chapters, real quickly, Daniel trained in royal service, chapter 1. Chapter 2 was what? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Now, these first six chapters, especially in this first setting, I want to be able to say to you chapter 3, and I want you to tell me what it's about. I want to say chapter 1. What's chapter 1 about? It's about Daniel and royal service. Chapter 2, what's it about? Chapter 2 of Daniel is about Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about an image. Chapter 3 is about a golden image in a fiery furnace. 4 is Nebuchadnezzar's tree dream. 5 is the handwriting on the wall. You remember that one? Now, the tree dream is not as well known to people, but the handwriting on the wall is. You've heard the phrase, say, well, can you not see the handwriting on the wall? Where did it come from? Chapter 5. Chapter 6 is about what? Daniel in the lion's den. So I want to be able to look at you and say chapter 4, and you're going to say what to me? Tree dream. Chapter 2, what are you going to say? So I want you to get that in your mind. Now, chapter 1 is about Daniel is exiled to Babylon as what? As a young boy. Now, that's prophesied about. Number 2, he and other Israelis are drafted into training for what? Royal government service. We're going to go into that and get the understanding of it. Let me insert something here right quickly. Be sure and sign in on this teaching because I'm going to need your emails. I'm going to be sending emails out every week to help you in your study. Daniel and his friends, this is chapter 1, 3 friends refuse to eat the royal food. They find favor and come to excel in their what? In their studies. Now, chapter 2 is about what? Nebuchadnezzar's image. An unusual image with a gold head, silver upper body, bronze lower body, iron legs, iron and clay feet. Daniel interprets the parts as picturing world empires that are to come. Book of Daniel is prophetic, and we're going to start using this imagery in helping to train you some in the prophetic. Number 3 is about what? The fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar has a golden image built, which he commands all to bow down and worship. Daniel's companions refuse to worship the image and are thrown where? In a fiery furnace. Do you remember that one? God rescues them in the midst of the... Anybody felt any heat lately? Chapter 4 is about what? It's the tree dream. It's Nebuchadnezzar's tree dream. A mighty tree is cut down, leaving only stump and roots. Daniel, he tells him it's judgment to come for the pride of who? Nebuchadnezzar. This is chapter 4. The dream is fulfilled. Nebuchadnezzar's pride, madness, and to say amen for recovery, somebody. Hallelujah. Now, number 5 is the handwriting on the wall. Belshazzar uses the sacred dishware from God's temple. What happened was when they went in and they destroyed and they captured them, they went into the temple, they got the goblets and got all the utensils of the temple in Jerusalem, and they took them back to Babylon. We'll get into that and the symbol of it. A mysterious message appears. Daniel, he tells him about to Belshazzar, he interprets it about his empire that will end, and that night the kingdom did end. And it was taken. That is chapter 5. What's chapter 4 about? The tree. What's chapter 3 about? What's chapter 2 about? In chapter 1. Very good. Very good. Chapter 6 is about what? Daniel and the lion's den. You remember that story. Daniel is punished for praying to anyone but the king. God protects Daniel from the lions, but his accusers are later devoured. That's a good lesson in not throwing somebody into a lion's den. Now, chapter 7 through 12 is mostly prophetic. This is just a quick overview of the whole book of Daniel. It has how many chapters? It has 12 chapters. The first 6 chapters are about, it's more of a narrative about Daniel. It tells about his life experiences. The last 6 chapters are more about, much more about prophecy and the end times. Now, here we can see that Daniel's dream is about 4 beasts in verse 7. His vision is of ram and a goat. Verse 8, he has his prayer and message of the 77s. It is in chapter 9. His vision of the heavenly man, chapter 10. And the angel's message is in 11 through 12. Now, I'm throwing that out to you quickly and say, well, Alan, that doesn't mean much. It will. It will mean much to you. Chapter 7, it speaks about these 4 beasts. A lion, a bear, a leopard, and it talks about a terrible beast that appears. Then a throne scene with the Ancient of Days. The Son of Man receives the universal kingdom. This is talking about the end time when Jesus Christ will be here on this planet ruling and reigning. You cannot spiritualize it away. He's coming back. 4 kingdoms are to come, then judgment, then eternal kingdom of the... How many saints do we have in here? You're going to be there. You might need to know about where you're going to be. Chapter 8 talks about a ram and a goat. ram with two unequal horns conquers all. He in turn is defeated by a goat, one horn whose horn breaks and is replaced by four horns. There again, might not mean much to you now, but it will. The ram is the Medes and the what? Persians. It has two horns. Speaks about that. The goat is Greece. Chapter 9 is a very interesting chapter. It speaks about the 70 sevens. That one is so cool. And I'm not going to tell you a thing about it today. Daniel repents for himself and for Israel. God sends an angel with his message in chapter 9. And the 70 sevens are determined upon the people and the holy city. Chapter 10. Daniel sees a shining man and is terrorized. Is this Gabriel, he asks. He mentions princesses of Persia and Greece. And he comes with a message for who? For Daniel. That's chapter 10. Now, chapter 11 and 12 is the angel's message. It's the doings of the coming kings of the north and the south. This is very important. The king who exalts himself as the Antichrist. And it speaks about in 11 and 12, the end times, and it says the wise will understand at that time. So, if we understand it, it is a sign unto us that we are in those times. And trust me, you can understand it. Tells us the sign of the times. Now, I want us to look at it. You've got your observation worksheets, which is chapter 1. As we do each chapter, your notes will be at the desk as you come in. Also, the chapters of the scriptures will be there. And you can look in the back of your workbooks if you've placed them there. And you'll be able to see the observation worksheets. I'll also read them overhead. If you do not have a notebook and would like one, we have plenty there, I think. So we will start in Daniel 1 reading. I'm going to read through this chapter right quickly. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judea, Nebuchadnezzar, king of, and the Lord, I lost my scripture, and the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylon and put in the treasure house of his God. Verse 3. Now remember, this is about Daniel's training in Babylon. You remember chapter 1, Daniel's in Babylon for training. Then the king ordered Aspenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude of every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judea, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, he changed their names, the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. Verse 8. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Verse 11. Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink." Very interesting. "Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. Verse 15. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Verse 18. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians, enchanters in the whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. That's chapter 1 of Daniel. I ask you to read chapter 1 this next week. Keep reading it over and over and over. Remember, it's supernatural words. Remember, Daniel wrote this book. As you take on the characteristics, the persona, as you catch the spirit of Daniel and he becomes in you, you will be able to see what Daniel wrote. There's one thing to learn it, there's another one to see it. You've got to leave your opinions. You've got to leave your pride. You've got to leave your critical heart, your critical mannerisms. You've got to leave it all and check it at the door. As, remember, Daniel wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If you fly an airplane and you're being taught how to fly an airplane and you have an instructor beside you, he says, do as I do. Learn from me. Copy what I'm doing. So it is as in the prophetic. We copy another, we see another, we take on the spirit of another. As you try to take on the spirit of Daniel, which is the Holy Spirit, through Daniel's eyes, you will be able to see. Amen. Now, let's start seeing as Daniel sees. How can we relate to Daniel? The enemy wants to take us back where God had brought us from. What happened in the characteristic of Daniel? Here we had they were in captivity. They were captured. They were in captivity. Why were they in captivity? Because they started following false gods. Remember, this book is for today. We need to see through this book of Daniel what Daniel was writing for the end times. We take on the Holy Spirit to see what the Spirit wants us to say, to see. We see that the enemy's wanting to take everyone in here back. He's wanting to take you back. Israel was taken into captivity because they turned their worship from God to false gods. The word Babylon in Hebrew is spelled S-I-N-A-R. We've seen that before in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. It's talking about the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was where? Babylon. So they have now been taken captive where? Into Babylon. It's where the Tower of Babel. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar, which is Babylon, and settled there. They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make what? A name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. How do we know the spirit of Babylon? What's the first main spirit of a Babylonian? You're there in Babylon to make a name for yourself. It's all about you. So what does Alan Smith feel? What comes as I walk, everywhere I walk, what do I feel? Babylon is touching me. What do I feel? I've got to make a name for myself. Y'all need to know who I am. When I'm under the right mind of the Spirit, I say to myself, I hope you meet Jesus in me before you know who I am. But the spirit of Babylon convinces us we need to make a name for ourselves. How do you know Babylon's touching you? It's because, and there's not anybody in here who that doesn't come against. How do I know that? Because we are under, in the end times, in the spirit of Babylon. How do I know that we're in the spirit of Babylon, the end times that Daniel's talking about? It's because that's speaking to me all the time. Let me be on stage. Let me be somebody special. Y'all just need to know who I am. It comes against every person in here. And then you'll say, well, nobody knows who I am. I'm so mistreated because nobody knows who I am. It's still a response of Babylon. Babylon is more than a land. Babylon is a philosophy. It's a way of thinking. It's an attitude. It's a culture. Every one of us sitting in here are under the influence of the spirit of Babylon. Do we want to see the sick healed? Do we want to see the dead raised? Do we want to see people become born again? I submit to you, we can't do that through the spirit of Babylon. To make a name for ourselves. Let's raise the dead so we can make a name for a new life. Come on, somebody. God forbid. Let us be the biggest church in Alexander County so people really know who we are. Let us make a name for ourselves. Spirit of Babylon. Then nothing happens in our midst. Why? It's because the Holy Spirit is far from it. Test what I say. Babylon is a philosophy. It's a way of thinking. It's an attitude. It's a culture. The Spirit of God to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to save the lost, to heal anything that's broken is real. Let's just be sure we're not offering a false god. We have been assigned to this particular Babylon at this specific time. You've got to receive and understand we are in that end time. You cannot accept and believe you're in the end times without accepting and believing you're under the spirit of Babylon. We have been assigned to this particular Babylon at this particular time. You have been born for this time. You can accomplish the things of the kingdom at this time. One of the first things you do is you try not to make a name for yourself. That's dangerous. I just hope y'all meet Jesus before you meet me. I'm telling you what. I told my children when they were growing up, I said, I hope y'all meet Jesus and your daddy before you meet your daddy. If you don't, your daddy's not got a chance. As out of that, I wrote a little proverb. It says, what makes a great father is very forgiving children. Are we being brainwashed by it? Is it getting to us? Are we being brainwashed by this spirit? Is it getting to us? Is it getting in us? We are being continuously indoctrinated by this world culture. What happened to Israel when they went into Babylon? Finally, they were set free and stayed in Babylon. Just a few of them went back to Israel. It took years to get it up there just to rebuild a temple and the walls. They were in captivity. They were set free and still wanted to stay in captivity. Did you know as Christians we've all been set free? But what good does it do us if we stay in captivity? Freedom does us no good. Recognizing Babylon. Have you got your that paper there, Isaiah 47? It was one of your two papers. I gave you a scripture, but also you should have got Isaiah 47. Anybody not get one that would like one? We got them back here at the back. You can raise your hand. We'll send a runner to you. I believe everybody's got one. Now, Isaiah 47. It's just amazing. We get in the book of Daniel. We'll be doing Isaiah, hitting Revelation a little bit. We'll be running all over the place. Now, in Isaiah chapter 47, it gives us the more detail on the spirit of Babylon. Now, why do we need to know that? So we can know how it's influenced us, and so we can recognize it as it is around us. You say, Alan, are you a doom and gloomer? No, I'm not. But I think we need to have enough sense to know what we've been set free from. And to be sure we're still not being affected by it. I so didn't want to teach the book of Daniel. You have no idea why how much I didn't want to teach the book of Daniel. I knew 3 months ago I had to teach the book of Daniel. I didn't want to teach the book of Daniel. Why? It's because I know what's in the book of Daniel. I'd just soon not be reminded. But here I am. I guess we're all going to have to be reminded. And I want you to know it is not my choice. I'm under the idea it's God's mandate. And I don't like it any more than you do. Is that all right? Isaiah 47. Let's look and see what it says. The Spirit of God wants to remind us of where we are. Look at it in verse 1. Go down, sit in the dust, virgin daughter of Babylon. There again, it's just giving you the idea of the spirit of Babylon. Sit on the ground with the throne, queen city of the Babylonians. No more will you be called tendered and delicate. Take milestones and grind flour. Take millstones and grind flour. Take them off your veil. Lift up your skirts. Bare your legs and wade through the streams. Your nakedness will be exposed and your shame uncovered. I will take vengeance. I will spare no one. Our Redeemer, the Lord Almighty is His name, is the Holy One of Israel. Sit in silence. Go into darkness. Queen city of the Babylonians, no more will you be called Queen of Kingdoms. I was angry with my people and desecrated my inheritance. I gave them into your hand and you showed them no mercy. Even on the aged you laid a very heavy yoke. You said, I am forever the eternal queen. But you did not consider these things or reflect on what might happen. Now listen. Now then, listen, you lover of pleasure. You what?
Lover
of pleasure. Lounging in your security and saying to yourself, I am and there is none beside me. I will never be a widow or suffer the loss of children. Both of these will overtake you in a moment on a single day. Loss of children and widowhood. They will come upon you in full measure in spite of your many sorceries and all of your potent spells. You have trusted in your wickedness and have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and knowledge misled you when you say to yourself, I am and there is none beside me. Disaster will come upon you and you will not know how to conjure it away. A calamity will fall upon you that you cannot ward off with a ransom. A catastrophe you cannot foresee will suddenly come upon you. Keep on then with your magic spells and with your many sorceries which you have labored at since childhood. Perhaps you will succeed. Perhaps you will cause terror. All of the counsels you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. Surely they are like stubble. The fire will burn them up. They cannot even save themselves from the power of the flame. These are not coals for warmth. This is not a fire to sit by. That is all they are to you. These you have dealt with and labored with since childhood. All of them go on in their era. There is not one that can save you. Recognizing Babylon, it says this in verse 8. Now then, listen, your lover of pleasure, lounging in your security and saying to yourself what? I am and there is none besides me. When you start considering yourself, I am. It's the I am and there's none. It'll start off as the I am and then it says there's none other beside me. It's a lover of pleasure. There are people calculate their jobs by how much time they get off, if they want the job or not. I can tell nobody in here thinks that way. Instead of thinking, how can I go to my job and be an agent of the kingdom of God? What a wonderful opportunity I'll have 40 or 50 hours a week to be an agent for the kingdom of my God. If you're calculating your job, how good it is, based on how much time you get off, you might be a spiritual Babylonian. You have trusted in your wickedness and have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and knowledge mislead you when you say to yourself, this is verse 10, what? I am and there is none beside me. The spirit of Babylon, how do we know it comes into us? If this church is self-seeking, it's all about us, the spirit of Babylon's in here, and we're adding Jesus on the end. We are being indoctrinated by a self-indulged culture. We must be very deliberate in not being indoctrinated by the spirit of Babylon. Say, Alan, why are you bringing this up? I don't like it. Because I know that the Word of God demands and requires of me, the Spirit's in me, and I see through the eyes of Daniel, I know I'll be converted. I know the truth of God's Word will convert my heart. The only way I cannot be converted is not read it. Because when I read it, I know I'll be converted. We have to be deliberate in our actions, not to be indoctrinated by the spirit of Babylon, which it means it's all about me. If you get offended by somebody every 15 minutes, it's all about you. If nobody in your life is doing anything right, it's all about you. If you think you've got all the great ideas and everybody else is doing it wrong, it's all about you. Y'all want me to quit?
Keep going,
brother. Let's quit because I think I got me. Babylon wants to use your anointing to accomplish its purposes. I spoke on that, I think, a Wednesday night or two ago. Babylon wants to use your anointing to accomplish its purposes. God's people are anointed. You don't wait for it, you got it. The enemy has no power but to use our anointing. So Babylon invades us. Our self-seeking indulgences. Come to New Life so we can make your life easier. Don't come to New Life if you want your life easier. Anybody got a witness? It just does not work that way. Babylon wants to use your anointing to accomplish its purposes. We are indoctrinated by this Babylonian culture and spirit, and then we'll use our influences for everything but the kingdom of God. There is a high premium on youth, beauty, and intelligence in Babylon. High premium on our youth, everybody being beautiful, and on how smart you are. That's what it said right here. Daniel 1 verse 3. Then the king ordered Aspenaz, chief of the court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the what? From the what family? If you're in the kingdom of God, what kind of family are you from? Did you feel a witness or was it just me? Or did somebody turn the air conditioner on? Royal family. Young men without physical defect. What's the world saying to us today? We want everybody, you can't have any defects. So we're going to go to this surgeon, this one, that one over there, and we're going to do all this stuff. You got to understand, that is the influence of Babylon. I'm not saying we don't need to be cleaned up and look the best we can. I'm just saying, that is an obsession. He wants them to, now to remember, this is what he's asking for. Want them to have no physical defect. They got to be of a royal family. They got to be handsome. Showing aptitude for every kind of learning. Well informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. Why does the king want that kind of people? Because he wants their anointing. Every time the king wanted a dream interpreted, who did he have to call on? Daniel's anointing. Babylon wants our anointing. Has anybody got a witness? Babylon wants our anointing. We're wanting to use our anointing for the kingdom. And when we come to church, our anointing has been depleted because we've been using it for Babylon. God help us. Look at it in the next verse, 5. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel he named Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Nothing is more dangerous than a friendly captivity. Captivity never remains friendly. That's the problem. How much of Babylon is in us? It feels friendly, but it never remains friendly. We say, I want it my way. We will lose our identity and integrity without resolve. And I need 5 more minutes, Pastor. Can I get it? We will lose our identity and integrity without resolve. That's how we know the spirit of Babylon's getting to us. They were just 4 among many. Just 4 young men, 15 to 17 years old, among Babylon. But Daniel resolved not to do what? Listen, if you want to see the book of Daniel, you've got to have a resolve in you. If you want to see where we really are and see like Daniel sees, you've got to have a resolve. Babylon is trying to get us. It's wearing you down. Daniel made it. He was in his 80s or 90s when he got set free from a 17-year-old boy. But that's how long he had his resolve. And you know how long he had his anointing? The whole time. The king had to put Daniel over his stuff to run it because he needed Daniel's wisdom and anointing to do it. God let him do it because Daniel had a resolve that he would not bow to the enticement of Babylon. We must begin to recognize the world we live in. Our challenge is to live in the midst of the I am, and besides me, there is no other mentality. Listen, it's not that bad. God's not asking you to suffer it. He says you'll feel better when you leave it. It's a promised land. All about me is destruction. It feels friendly, but it's not. The spirit of Babylon says the church must be more relevant to the world. Isn't that what you hear today? All the time. The church just isn't relevant. Well, I wrote this one. Throw rocks at me if you will. We need to draw a line and be more relevant for the kingdom of God in the world. The church does not need to be more relevant to the world. We're not relevant to is the kingdom of God. I stand here in my shame. I'm not relevant to the kingdom, to the world. I'm done. This is our introduction to Daniel. If you don't want to come back next week, I understand. I love you just the same. Just pray that I return.